Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were talking about the blessed assurance that we will see our saved loved ones in heaven. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
However grievous may be the sorrows, the sufferings, and the contradictions of this life, they last only for a short time when compared to the canvas of eternity. And then our Lord leads us to the life that's free from all trouble, a complete life with the Lord in mansions designed and equipped for His beloved, designed by Him. That's why we read in John 14, 1 through 3, where He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?" Jesus says, "Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a special blessing and promise that is for us. That way, when a saved one loses a loved one, maybe your husband dies, your wife dies, a child dies, a parent dies. If you're both in Christ, you don't say goodbye at death. Instead, you just say, "I'll see you later." Isn't that comforting? Because that is based on the promise of God who does not lie. Now, the resurrection also tells us there is a living Savior. He proved all of His claims to be the very Son of God. It was for that claim they tried to stone Him, because when He claimed to be the very Son of God, and the terminology He used was to say the very offspring, the very seed of God, then they realized He was making Himself equal with God, and they tried to stone Him. Anybody comes by the door of your house and says Jesus was a God, was a angel, He was a good person, but not Almighty God, that person is of the devil's doctrine, and they are wrong. And that is somebody that the Bible is so emphatic that it says, don't even wish that guy Godspeed. Don't invite him into your house. Well, that's very strong. But that tells you how God felt about it, because those words were breathed by the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to understand that. He established Himself unmistakably as the promised Messiah, the God-sent deliverer who would rescue men from their hopeless descent into sin and death. This also proved He was innocent of every sin, that He was sent from God, that His claim to deity was true when He said, "I and My Father are one." You see, He was declared to be the Son of God with power by His resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 tells us. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it shows His sacrifice was accepted in heaven. For it says in verse 25 of Romans 4, "Who was delivered for our offenses." That is, that was the propitiation, the satisfaction, the total payment for our sin. "And was raised again for our satisfaction." Yes, the cross was the payment. And the resurrection was God's receipt. We'll live forever. That is why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, of the resurrection. It says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 people, that is 500 brethren, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep, that is, some had already died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. All these witnesses attest that he was a physically risen Savior. In that day, this could easily be checked out and was. In our day, it's accepted totally by faith. There's nobody living that saw it now today except the ones that are in heaven, and you'll know it's true when you get there and you see Jesus. But in that day, these incorruptible truths were verified in seeing those that were alive on the earth in that day in Christ appearing unto them. Now understand, my friend, the most important event since the creation itself is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is just as important as the cross. Yes, our sin needed that payment. The wrath of God needed to be satisfied, but also the resurrection was also very important for our eternal life. The resurrection proved Christ to be Savior, Creator, Lord, and God. For only the Creator of life could defeat death. When Thomas had said, except I see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, about a week later, Thomas was there. And the first Sunday night, he missed church and he missed Jesus. So the second Sunday night, he's going to be there and Jesus comes again. And this time, he says, Thomas, here. Touch the prints in my hand. Thrust your hand into my side. But Thomas says, my Lord, and my God. Now, I find it interesting. There's no waste of the Holy Spirit with His words. Every word was God-breathed. It's not wordy at all. It's exactly to the point. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Why my Lord first? Because Jesus was already his Lord. He had forsook all to follow Jesus. But now he sees him not only as Lord, he sees him as God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you're saying that because you've seen me. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now, we don't need to send poor souls to a mere crucifix, the image of a dead man. We can confidently point hell-bound sinners to a living Savior who ever liveth to make intercession for them. Why? Because He is alive. He lives, and He's coming again. By the resurrection from the dead, He proved, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There was a witch by the name of Mary Magdalene. She had had seven devils. My friend, that's a witch. And yet that witch can be saved. There was a murderer, Paul, who consented to the death of Stephen. Paul can be saved. There was a thief on the cross that never went to church, never got baptized, but he can be saved. There was the woman taken in adultery, the very act, and she can be saved. There is the homosexual that in 1 Corinthians 6:11 it says, and such were some of you, that ye are cleansed, you're washed. You see, the homosexual can be saved and changed from that life to the life of righteousness. But also there's the religious man who is depending upon his good works can be saved, just like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, where also Acts 10 and Acts 11 tells us what God has cleansed. Call it not common. Don't call it unclean. And then once Mary Magdalene or that woman taken into adultery or that homosexual, when God saves them, when God cleanses them, they're no longer common nor unclean. Are you tired of your sin? Remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead for your complete justification. Your sin has been paid for in full by our Savior, who also applied His blood at the holiest place in heaven. Does Satan accuse you in your conscience, bring to your mind your past and your failures, and then asking you, how can you be saved? Then just remember that the living Savior in heaven is your advocate, and He is your intercessor. And He has never lost a case. In John 10:28-29, Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Do infirmities, bodily pain, hinder you? Remember, Jesus Christ may not remove it, but He will, if you let Him, make His strength perfect in your weakness, even to the point you glory in infirmities. Do you fear death? Jesus Christ permanently vanquished this enemy for the believer, so that now, to be present in the body on this earth is to be absent from the Lord. Please allow the following verses to do something in your heart. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we read the following. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.